Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. And I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church. And let me say while you're finding that we sing in the New Testament church. You know, singing is only in Christianity. Did you realize that? All the major religions of the world, there's not singing. God created music. And I'm thankful for our worship team that lead us to be able to use our voices to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's something in you that just wells up. You want to sing to the Lord. And so I just think it's so neat that we have that as a part of our worship, is music. God created music. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Today we're looking at the book of happiness, the book of joy, and today we're looking at joy in circumstances. We have all kinds of people here at North Central. All people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married for a long time, some not so long. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Some wish they could have kids. Many here are believers, but not all. But we are all sitting here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Jesus Christ is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. Now, I mentioned in the rally we had in here during the life group time that I just mentioned that the Gators won last night over Mississippi State. You take advantage of these good days, you know, when you can say that, okay? You take advantage. But no, I wanted you to know that one of our members was up there in Starkville, right? In Starkville, Mississippi, and they had the SEC Nation. Now, I tell you, you think game day is a big deal. It is a big deal. But SEC Nation's a big deal. And I think Tim Tebow was there, and what's the guy's name that runs that thing? Feinbaum, yeah. Paul Feinbaum, he was there and everything. Well, our guys there, they said, we got to make a poster. And so one said, go Gators. Well, Mark Severance, here's what he put on his sign. It made me think about when I read that thing that we have all kinds of people and all people are welcome here. He put on his sign, GatorChurch.com, all people are welcome here. So anyway, I don't know if he made it on TV or not, but I hope he did. And I heard that when he finished, they had to go to the game, so he took it. It had like a yard sale sign kind of stick on it, and he stuck it in a flower bed right by the stadium. So everybody walks in. They know that GatorChurch.com is a place for all kinds of people. All right, let's look at our passage today. We are in chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse 12. I'm going to read the scripture. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from mine. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. By the way, that word speak is a word for conversations. People were just having conversations. It's not necessarily preaching. The people were out just talking to people about the gospel. Verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then, or what do we make of these things? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth Christ is preached, and this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, our last verse. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Look at verse 12, our first verse, but I want you to know. In this book, we call this book the Joy Book. This is a book about Christian joy, about happiness, about getting your happiness not from the happenings in your life or the circumstances of your life, but getting your joy from God. And that's the only kind of joy that lasts. Well, in this book, 19 times, Paul talks about rejoicing. He even talks about it in our passage. He says, I rejoice that they're preaching. I rejoice that the gospel is going forth. This book is all about joy and how to have supernatural joy. But also in this book, 16 times, he uses a word that relates to the mind. And it gives us indication that the way we think, what we concentrate on, the things we know make a difference in whether or not we really have true happiness or not that lasts. For example, in our passage, verse 12, I want you to know, brethren. And so we see this. The word know there means to understand, to grasp, or to ascertain, to acquire knowledge by experience. So Paul is saying to us in here, he says, look, how do you have joy in circumstances? You say, what were the circumstances under which Paul was at? You know, he was in prison. Paul wrote this epistle, and others are called the prison epistles. Paul was in jail. And from jail, he's writing to these people about joy. And so he gives us some insights as to how we can experience joy in our life, because circumstances are very difficult. If you're getting your joy from the circumstances you're in, then it means that one day you may be excited, you may be happy, but the next day you may be in the tank. And so how do you have a lasting type of joy from deep within? Doesn't mean hardship doesn't come, but it gives you the faith that you need and the strength that you need to make it in the difficult times, all right? I've broken this passage down into three things I want you to know. First of all, he talks about personal trials. He said, I want you to know, brethren, in verse 12, that the things which happened to me, well, he was arrested. He was taken on a ship to Rome. He appealed to Caesar because he was a Roman citizen. He was on trial, and he was actually in prison. Some believe that he was shackled to a guard 24/7. They had three shifts that would come in, and they would swap out these different guards, and they would shackle them to the Apostle Paul. And so the church back in Philippi received this note because they had loved Paul. Epaphroditus was a man that was with Paul, and he brought this letter back to the people in Philippi. And so he's letting them know, I want you to know about my personal trial. The things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, the phrase, the things that have happened to me, literally means this: the things that are dominating me. Do you ever feel that you're in circumstances that dominate your life? I do. I feel like sometimes I'm in a circumstance I can't control. I can't get out of it. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's the phrase he used. He goes, look, I'm locked up here. I can't control this, but I want you to know the things that have happened to me have actually turned out or have resulted in the furtherance of the gospel. I have that word furtherance in my Bible circled because that is a key verse in this passage. The word furtherance there of the gospel means to cut before. The word furtherance is from words that mean to cut ahead of. It was used of woodcutters who would go before an army to make a way for the army to go where it naturally couldn't go. So if an army came to a place and they knew there was somebody 3 miles up there, they had to get to them, but there were woods in the way, they would have what they called woodcutters. It's the same word where we get the word pioneer. A pioneer is someone that blazes a new trail. And Paul is saying that his circumstances actually have done this. They have cut a new way out. And those woodcutters would go before an army. They would clear the way out to enable the army to go. And he says this in the passage. He says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Can you imagine being chained to the Apostle Paul? Do you think you were going to hear about Jesus? The Apostle Paul, he'd say, okay, John, I'm glad you've come in here. Shackle up right here. Let me tell you about my life. The guy couldn't go anywhere. They thought Paul was chained up. But it was the whole palace guard. Do you realize that Paul was at this palace guard? The scholars believe that those that commentate on these things and study these things believe that perhaps Paul was actually at a house arrest. He was in his own place, but they would bring the different members of the palace guard in shifts into his house, and they would chain them to Paul, and they would have to sit there and watch him. And so imagine Paul is writing these prison epistles. He's sharing with them his own testimony about knowing Jesus Christ and about the gospel going forward. I mean, these guys didn't have a chance. He says, it's become evident to the whole palace guard and to the rest. Word has spread even more than the palace guard. He's been guarded by these soldiers. And so as a result of his circumstance, the gospel was advanced. Now, here's what I think is our lesson from this. Sometimes we're in the circumstances we're in because God wants us to be a pioneer to get the gospel in a place it would have never been. You say, boy, I really wish I could get out of my job. Boy, I'm the only Christian there. What a privilege. Somebody says, boy, I really got it tough in my family. It's really been difficult in my family. You know, people are not very open to the gospel. What an opportunity. Perhaps it's that you have been chosen by the Lord to be in the circumstance you're in because God has entrusted you with the gospel of Jesus to go to pioneer it into a new place, into a new opportunity there. In August of 1565, Pedro Menendez de Avilés from Spain came to St. Augustine. He founded the longest continuous European settlement on the continental United States of America. Now, there's probably somebody's going to dicker. I think there's all kinds of debate about whether it's the oldest city or whatever. They say Jamestown was the first established colony in the first established city in one of the first 13 colonies of the U.S. But that was 1607 in Virginia. 1565, Pedro Menendez founded St. Augustine. You go over to St. Augustine, you drive up, and you see it says nation's oldest city. Do you know that there was a fella named John Ribot, spelled like Rebalt? Where's Andrew? Andrew's father was a coach in a high school that they won. How many state championships did they win over there? They won 8 state championships in basketball at Rebalt High School in Jacksonville. That high school is named after the French explorer John Ribot. He came to Jacksonville, and Pedro Menendez and John Ribot were racing to the continental United States in order to establish settlements there. And so Ribot landed in the mouth of the St. John's River. That's where I'm from, Jacksonville. And you can go now to see Fort Caroline, which is where John Ribot established that settlement. Then Pedro Menendez came to St. Augustine. They knew they were going to confront one another. They knew they were going to try to kill each other. So Ribot got in his ships and was going to sail down to St. Augustine and go after Pedro Menendez. Pedro Menendez said, I'm going to go by land. By the way, have you ever driven down US 1 from Jacksonville to St. Augustine? You're driving through palmetto bushes, rattlesnakes, palm trees, pine trees. I mean, it is the roughest terrain. But Pedro Menendez says, I've got me some pioneers, and he got him some woodcutters. True story. In the fall of 1565, he got him some woodcutters, and they blazed a trail. And when he got there, Ribaut and all of his strength was in a ship going down to St. Augustine. They got caught in like a hurricane winds and crashed down in Titusville. They crashed. Y'all didn't know y'all gonna get a history lesson today. Hey, you know why I do this? Because I took Florida history at UF. Dr. Michael Gannon. I can't tell you the whole thing, it'll go forever. But anyway, Dr. Gannon taught me Florida history. But when I heard this word in the Greek language about a pioneer, it made me think about what Pedro Menendez did. He went up there to St. Augustine. He said, I need my sharpest guys. I need my strong guys. I need guys with machetes. I need guys that can cut trees down. I need my lumberjacks. And so what they did is they went from St. Augustine and they hacked their way through the palmettos. They probably killed rattlesnakes and everything. And they surprised Fort Caroline. There was only about 175 people there because all the people with John Ribaut crashed on the side of Titusville on their way to try to get to Pedro Menendez, and he killed all of them but the women and the children. And so Fort Caroline was not a continuous settlement because Pedro Menendez took it out. Eventually those guys came up to Pedro Menendez. He was ruthless, by the way. They came up and they surrendered. Ribaut thought that he would have mercy on them. They walked up the shore and he went to them and they surrendered and he killed them all the Frenchmen, John Ribaut and all of them. But the point I'm trying to make is that Menendez had those pioneers. Can I tell you this? Sometimes the Lord looks to you and he says, I need a pioneer. Now, our natural ability, our natural want is to get out of circumstances. I mean, if we're in a tough fix, a bad circumstance, the first thing we think of is, how can I get out of this circumstance? Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that God may have privileged you to be a pioneer, someone that would go into that situation? That's exactly the way Paul saw himself. He saw himself as a pioneer. You know, Fanny Crosby lost her sight. Fanny Crosby lost her sight. She could have, if there was ever a person that could have been embittered towards God, it could have been Fanny Crosby. But you know what she did? She said, I'm not going to let that impact my life. And she ended up writing hundreds of hymns. We sing them today. Great songs of the faith, because Fanny Crosby said, you know what? I'm blind, but I'm not going to allow the darkness to stop me. And she was greatly used. Susanna Wesley, a mother. You say, you know what, I've just got these kids I'm trying to raise. It's all I can do to raise these kids. You know, Susanna Wesley had a lot of children. But two of them, Charles and John Wesley, listen, they shook continents for God because she poured into those boys. She poured into those kids the things of God. Listen, I don't know all about your circumstance, but can I tell you this? You're a pioneer. Paul was saying, I'm in prison, but I want you to know the things that have happened to me have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. So in order to have joy in circumstances, like we're talking about today, you've got to know something. You've got to know that the circumstances you're in, God may use for the furtherance. Now, he also, number two, talks about people's responses. Because in verses 14 and following, he says this. He says, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul's testimony of this emboldened most of those believers there to speak the word. But it's interesting that there was two groups. There were some that had the right motives and some that had the wrong motives. Because it says in verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. Now, we don't totally know what some believe. This may have been those that believed you had to come under the law. They were Jews that believed you had to come over the law to be saved. Not too sure about that interpretation, but for some reason, there were those that preached out of envy and strife. They had the wrong motives. And in verse 16, it says this, the former preached Christ from selfish ambition. That's the word for partisanship. They were canvassing for an office. They were preaching with the wrong motives. They were preaching the gospel because Paul later on says, I'm thankful that they were preaching. But they were preaching from wrong motives. It kind of reminds us of in Corinth. You remember that passage? It says that they were preaching and some said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas or Peter. And then some were so spiritual, they said, well, y'all are from those guys. We're from Christ. We're from Christ. Now, they were all preaching, but they had their motive was to gain attention to themselves. And so you have all these people's responses. Folks, you can't always be in charge of the way people respond. But Paul did not allow those people's responses to rob him of joy. Look what happens. In verse 15, it says, some also from goodwill. In verse 16, the former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add to my affliction to my chains. Some said they were saying things like this. The ones from goodwill were saying things like this. Have you trusted Christ? Maybe the ones that were not from goodwill, from envy and strife, they were saying, have you trusted Christ? And they say, by the way, whose side are you on? You see, they were doing it out of in a wrong motive. Verse 16, the former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. It was going to hurt me that they were doing it of the wrong motives. Verse 17, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Paul says, I am appointed. He says, I'm set. Matter of fact, some translations actually use that phrase. I am set. This is God's will for me. Basically, he said this, no matter what their motives are, I'm set that I am a messenger of Jesus Christ right here in this prison. No matter how the people respond, I am set. I am appointed by God. And so we see that when we live with joy in circumstances, when we know some things about the fact that he's pioneering our lives into a new place, you're going to have those personal trials and you're going to have people's responses. But then he gets to the third thing, and that is there's a primary attitude that you need to have, and it's found in verses 18 through 20. We close with this. What then? In other words, he's going to sum it up. He's going to say, what do I say to these things? What is my feeling about this? The fact that I'm in prison, the fact that some are preaching out of good motives, some are not preaching from the right motives, but they're still preaching. What is my conclusion? Paul concluded that he would rejoice, and there's that word, joy. He would rejoice because Christ was preached. His mind was focused on the gospel going forward. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look at me for just a second. One of the ways that you and I can experience victory in difficult times is when our mind is focused on the gospel. Not focused on the circumstance, not focused on everybody's reaction around us, but focused on, Lord, why am I in this circumstance? Why am I in this office with this difficulty? Why does it seem like I'm having this conflict with this individual? Why is it that this is happening to me? If you focus on the gospel, you'll begin to see that there's a reason God can use you to get the gospel. And that's what Paul did. So his primary attitude was his mind was focused on the gospel going forward. Look what it says in our passage here in verse 18. What then, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, whether it's they're pretending, they're saying, you know, whose side are you on, or they're sincere. It says, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. There's the word again. Yes, and will rejoice. For I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified. Christ will be magnified, the scripture says, in my body, whether by life or by death. So Paul said, I'm not going to let this conflict discourage me? By the way, you've heard the name George Whitefield. You've heard the name John Wesley. They were contemporaries. Theologically, they had some real disagreements. And they were preaching. They say that Whitefield would travel without any, he would be on a countryside. He would ride hundreds and hundreds of miles on horseback, and he would preach. Powerful preacher. They say that Whitefield preached on, you must be saved. He'd go somewhere else. He said, you must be saved. And they finally said, why do you keep preaching on you must be saved? He said, because you must be saved. I mean, he was relentless. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, and Whitefield had some disagreements. And so one day they came to Wesley. It was reported that somebody asked Wesley if he expected to see Whitefield in heaven. And the evangelist replied, no, I do not. Boy, they thought, what in the world? I can't believe he doesn't even think Whitefield's saved. He said, then you do not think Whitefield is a converted man? And Wesley said, of course he is a converted man, but I do not expect to see him in heaven because he will be so close to the throne of God and I so far away that I will not be able to see him. He had respect. And he was grateful that the gospel was going forward. And I tell you, it's a great lesson for believers. It's a great lesson for us to realize, instead of focusing on our circumstances and the way people respond to those things, for us to think that, you know what, let's praise God the gospel of Jesus is going forth. Amen? Let's praise God the gospel is going forth, and let's realize that God wants to use us as a pioneer to get the gospel there. So, he had joy because the gospel was going forth. He had joy because his deliverance was at hand. In verse 19, he talks about that. Now, there's some debate. Some think he's talking about the ultimate salvation in verse 19, where he says, for I know this will turn out for my deliverance. There's a little bit of doubt about exactly that what he means by that. But most believe it's a combination of both. He's talking about, ultimately, I'm going to be delivered. And to the believer, ladies and gentlemen, listen, we're just passing through, right? We're just passing through this life. We don't necessarily, we have roots here on this planet. We have roots here in Gainesville, Florida. But can I tell you this? Our ultimate citizenship is in heaven, and that's why the world should not have that great of a hold on us. So in some ways, he was talking about that. But in another way, he was saying, I believe I'm going to get out of this prison and come to you. Because later on in the passage, he talks about that it'd be expedient for me to come. And he says, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And so they believe that Paul thought he was going to get out. He was going to get out of that prison. And it turns out that he did. He got out on this occasion. And so he did. So he had joy because his deliverance was at hand. And then he had joy because Christ was going to be glorified through bold evangelism. In verse 20, it says, my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall ever be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. He was single-minded on the gospel. So the word joy is in the book of Philippians 19 times, but in the book of Philippians also is the word mind, or a word related to that. Ladies and gentlemen, for us to have joy, for us to have true happiness that we're looking for, we're all looking for lasting happiness. It'll never come until we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would make two quick suggestions. Number one, thank him for your circumstances. Lord, thank you for the circumstances that I'm in. And then find someone in your circumstance to share the gospel with. Find someone in the difficulty that you're in to share the gospel with and see if the Lord does not give you great joy. Elizabeth Elliot, her husband was killed by the Alcas in the 50s, a savage tribe in Ecuador, and she went back into that tribe. She went back in there and shared the gospel, and she makes this statement. She says, the secret is Christ in me, not me in different circumstances. Now, folks, sometimes we think The secret to joy is me in different circumstances. Here's the big problem with that. You can't control your circumstances all the time. But the key is that Christ is in you. And he may have privileged you to be a pioneer. Now, you're not some conquistador coming up from St. Augustine to Jacksonville. But let me tell you what you are. You're a greater pioneer. Because there's somebody in your world. There's somebody in your world whom God has orchestrated the events of your life for you to be there at the right time to get them the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. There's no greater joy in the whole world than being an emissary, an ambassador of Jesus Christ in the circumstances that you're in. Paul says, I know I'm in prison. Y'all are praying for me. He said, but I just want you to know that the things that have happened to me have turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, because the whole palace guard, he said, these old boys that think they're guarding me, I'm guarding them. These old boys that are chaining me up and coming in here to me and making sure I can't go anywhere, guess what? They can't go anywhere either. And I'm preaching the gospel to them. And guess what was happening? They were hearing about Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.